I'd like to start by acknowledging and thanking the co-authors of this project. Darren Erickson is the PI, and Tracy Toomey is my PhD advisor, neither of whom are here. Tobin Nelson is in the back. Rhonda's kind of in the middle of the room. And then Patricia is here up front. I think that's everyone who's here. If any of you were at Patricia's presentation yesterday morning, she talked a little bit about her latent class analysis. And that information is going to be included in my presentation. So this project is part of a larger study that uses APIS, the Alcohol Policy Information System, to investigate alcohol policies, the enforcement of alcohol policies, and outcomes related to alcohol. The goal of this project was to look at our enforcement data, specifically drinking and driving law enforcement data, and an outcome related to alcohol use, drinking and driving. I have nothing to disclose for this presentation. So as we all know, drinking and driving continues to be a public health problem. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, in 2010, alcohol-involved motor vehicle crashes resulted in 10,228 deaths. Alcohol-impaired driving fatalities accounted for 31% of the total motor vehicle traffic fatalities, and an average of one alcohol-impaired driving fatality occurred every 51 minutes. Alcohol-impaired driving laws are one important strategy for preventing alcohol-involved fatalities, but active enforcement of these laws is critical. As of August 1, 2005, all 50 states prohibit the blood alcohol concentration of a driver who is 21 years of age or older to be above 0.08%. Enforcement of these laws is one way to potentially influence drinking and driving behavior. Typically, alcohol-impaired driving enforcement strategies have been evaluated individually rather than as a combined measure of statewide enforcement. The Community Preventive Service Task Force Community Guide has recommended a number of strategies. These include sobriety checkpoints and mass media campaigns. There are a couple of other strategies that we looked at that have not been endorsed by this group, and those include saturation patrols and open container laws. So our research question for this project is enforcement of alcohol-impaired driving laws associated with drinking and driving behavior? If an association exists, are the effects of drinking and driving enforcement on drinking and driving behavior greater than just the result of reductions in alcohol use? And does a pattern of enforcement better predict drinking and driving than enforcement of individual strategies? We conducted two enforcement surveys. Our local law enforcement survey gathered information from municipal police and county sheriffs. And our state-level enforcement survey gathered information from Highway Patrol. To survey local law enforcement, we obtained a list of municipal and county law enforcement agencies from the U.S. Department of Justice Bureau of Statistics. We used a multi-stage sampling strategy. The response rate among local law enforcement agencies was 66%, and the state-specific rate ranged from 50 to 86%. To survey state law enforcement, we used the official directory of state patrol and state police, and the response rate among these departments was 98%. Using our local law enforcement survey and our state patrol surveys, we looked at four different enforcement strategies: sobriety checkpoints, saturation patrols, open container laws, and media campaigns to publicize enforcement efforts. And these were our four questions included in the surveys. Our outcome, reported drinking and driving behavior, comes from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. We use 2010 data. The BRFSS is a landline random digit dial telephone survey of health-related behaviors. It collects information from a representative sample of civilian, non-institutionalized adults 18 years of age and older. The question we use asked participants, during the past month, how many times have you driven when you've had perhaps too much to drink? And we dichotomized this outcome. We used multi-level models to appropriately analyze our data and account for clustering within states and also account for using survey data. Any of you who have worked with the BRFSS data set know that there are weights and other numbers that you have to incorporate into your analyses. So we aggregated our local law enforcement survey data to create state-level data, and our state patrol data is obviously state-level data. Our outcome, drinking and driving behavior, and our covariates are individual-level variables. So the reported, or the drinking and driving rate is 1.83%. In our sample, within states, an average of about 50% of agencies reported conducting sobriety checkpoints. About 67% of agencies reported conducting saturation patrols. An average of 43% of agencies reported enforcing open container laws. And an average of 71% of agencies reported using media campaigns to publicize agencies' enforcement efforts. And then on the far right, you see the percent of state patrols that reported these enforcement strategies. So 72% of state patrols reported conducting sobriety checkpoints, 94% of state patrols reported conducting saturation patrols, 42% reported enforcing open container laws, and 76% reported using media campaigns to publicize agencies' enforcement efforts. So the coefficients that are displayed in this table represent the difference in the average self-reported drinking and driving rate associated with a one-unit change in the proportion of local law enforcement agencies that report using the enforcement strategy. So this slide just shows local law enforcement results. So for example, the average drinking and driving rate decreases 0.647% with a one-unit increase in the proportion of local law enforcement agencies that report using sobriety checkpoints. Those numbers that are displayed in bold and in maroon are statistically significant. So our group wondered if this decrease was due to a decrease in alcohol use or due to a decrease in drinking and driving behavior. So we further controlled for binge drinking. So after controlling for binge drinking, the association is attenuated, but the use of sobriety checkpoints is still significantly associated with drinking and driving. The use of saturation patrols and the use of open container laws are no longer statistically significant. So we then wanted to look at enforcement patterns among local law enforcement agencies, not just those individual strategies. Latent class analysis allows us to look at the overall enforcement picture within states instead of looking at these individual laws alone. It allows us to identify unobservable subclasses. So the basic approach for LCA is to input our dichotomous indicator variables, so those four strategies that I talked about earlier, and then run a variety of different solutions, and then select our best solution based on fit statistics and interpretability. So our LCA gave us three subclasses. These subclasses are uniformly high, meaning the agencies are enforcing the four strategies kind of uniformly high. And then we have a saturation patrols and media category. So those are agencies that are enforcing saturation patrols and media more than the others. And then a uniformly low class. So you saw this slide before, but there's new information at the bottom. So within our sample, within states, an average of 24% of agencies fall within that uniformly high enforcement class, and about 25% fall within that uniformly low enforcement class. So again, the coefficients displayed in this table represent the difference in the average self-reported drinking and driving rate associated with a one-unit change in the proportion of local law enforcement agencies that report using the enforcement strategy. So the average drinking and driving rate decreases 1.848% with a one-unit increase in the proportion of local law enforcement agencies that fall within the high enforcement class. After controlling for binge drinking again, like we did earlier, the association is attenuated, but the enforcement classes are still significantly associated with drinking and driving behavior. Now we will look pretty briefly at our state patrol data. Now the coefficients represent the difference in the average self-reported drinking and driving rate between states that report using the enforcement strategy and states that report not using the enforcement strategy. So remember that states either said, yes, they did do these, or no, they didn't, because we're looking at state patrol, not the local any longer. So, for example, the average drinking and driving rate decreases 0.311% in states that report using sobriety checkpoints compared to states that report not using sobriety checkpoints. After controlling for binge drinking, again, the association is attenuated, but all four individual enforcement strategies are still significantly associated with drinking and driving. This project does have a number of limitations, including that the information provided by the agencies was self-report, and it is cross-sectional data. In conclusion, enforcement of drinking and driving laws is associated with drinking and driving behavior. The effects of drinking and driving enforcement on drinking and driving behavior are greater than just the result of reductions in alcohol use. LCA allows us to look at the overall enforcement picture within the states instead of looking at individual strategies. And among local law enforcement, the overall pattern of enforcement is more strongly associated with drinking and driving behavior than individual enforcement strategies. So far, we have used LCA only to look at local law enforcement agency law enforcement efforts. Our next steps include investigating the pattern of drinking and driving law enforcement among state patrols. We also plan to investigate how local law enforcement agency enforcement and state patrol enforcement might interact to influence drinking and driving behavior, and then also to investigate the association between enforcement and other outcomes. So thank you very much, and I'll take any questions. Yeah. Sure, yeah, that definitely would be interesting. I don't believe that the BRFSS allows us to look at exactly when the drinking and driving behavior occurs, but it's definitely important to keep in mind that the law enforcement changes at different periods of the year. Thank you. Yeah.
Do you have any, this is just yes or no, but are you also looking at frequency of enforcement, and do you have any potential explanations for that?
That would definitely be next steps. As of right now, we just looked at did they do them or did they not do them. We dichotomized. I believe with local law enforcement, it was reversed. So sobriety checkpoints have a higher association than saturation patrols when local law enforcement is occurring. So definitely we would like to look at that relationship between state patrol and local law enforcement efforts and kind of tease apart that relationship. Yes?
On the media campaign,
We do in the survey, but for this project, we just looked at did they do them or not do them. So that would also be next steps.
And whether they were PSA or
paid? I'm not sure if it gets that specific. I think it just focuses on the frequency.
Can you explain how you define saturation controls for your service?
Yes, it was according to that question. So again, this was just a survey given to or conducted over the phone with someone in the agency. So we just asked them, has your agency conducted saturation patrols in the past year, and left it up to the agency describing saturation patrol for themselves. Great, thank you.